Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 9, from the verse number 51 to the verse number 56, I desire that we read with the help of the Lord. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. This far I desire that we read in our first reading. And now before our Heavenly Father, let us bow down and unite our hearts in prayer and worship of His name. Heavenly Father, we worship Thee with gratitude and praise for Thy great goodness and Thy love, O Lord. We thank Thee for the salvation in Christ, for Thy abiding Holy Spirit, our Comforter, our Teacher, our Guide and our Corrector. We thank Thee, O Lord God Almighty, for the grace that Thou hast given us in the Savior, that from day to day we may come unto Thee in our prayers and acknowledge our many weaknesses, shortcomings, mistakes, confess to Thee our disobediences that we see in our past hours and days. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for that goodness and mercy of Thine that is always new. We thank Thee, O Lord, for revealing to us that in Christ is the true treasure for our souls, and that the only true and lasting values are those that bring us closer to Thee, that will last on and on forever. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, as Thou in Thy goodness and mercy and in Thy loving kindness art willing to forgive our debts and our trespasses, we pray, O Lord God Almighty, that Thou also give to us a loving and forgiving heart, that Thou give us a loving and understanding mind, and also, Lord God Almighty, that Thou make our soul a loving, peaceful, and peacemaking witness of Thy goodness and grace. Thou teach us to walk in Christ, to live in true godliness, to walk step by step in the footprints of the Savior, even though we are so far from His perfect ministry, O Lord. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, as we walk upon the face of this earth, as we walk upon this path of righteousness that leads to everlasting glory, Thou grant us a meek and humble heart. Thou teach us, O Lord, to walk in self-denial. Thou reveal to us and remind us afresh every day that there are no losses, that there is only gain, only great profit, and everlasting value in following in the footprints of the Savior. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, in our difficulties, in our struggles, as we strive to be faithful, Thou give us new strength. May our mind and heart be set up upon the heavenly things, where our head, our great high priest, our mediator, is on the right hand side of Thy throne, Lord God, our Heavenly Father. Thou help us to be mindful of all the suffering of our Lord and Savior, and how He said to us that the foxes have their dens and the birds their nests, but the Son of Man had no place where to lay down His head. So, O Heavenly Father, may also our security be in Thy goodness and grace. May also our rest be in Christ. May our peace be in Thy forgiveness, in Thy redemption, in Thy protection. May our joy be in Thy salvation, O Lord, and our daily walk a reflection of all that we read and learn and teach from this Holy Scripture that Thou hast given us. Holy Father, Thou make us faithful. Thou also make us fruitful. As Thou art sowing this seed of Thy holy word, gracious Lord, our blessed Redeemer, may Thy word be blessed in our hearts as the seed of life growing strong, growing deep roots, and bringing forth fruit according to Thy goodness and grace, O Lord. Thou bless us unto good works. Thou teach us, O Heavenly Father, daily to find new delight in serving Thee, for Thou canst do everything much better. Thou art perfect in all Thy ways, and yet, in Thy goodness and mercy, Thou hast chosen Thy children here upon the face of this earth to do Thy will. O Lord God Almighty, great is Thy love and Thy faithfulness. None of Thy promises ever failed. Thy word is truth. So we pray, O Heavenly Father, that Thou reveal to us Thy will, that Thou make us aware of all that Thou hast made available to us through Thy holy word, through the grace, through the worthiness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou enlighten our minds, that light of Thy truth make us wise and simple. Thou keep us, O Heavenly Father, from vanity and pride, lust of the flesh, lust of eyes. Thou keep us, O Lord God Almighty, from bitterness, wrath, vengeance and envy. Thou keep away from our souls, O Lord God Almighty, ignorance and superstition, doubts and fears. Make us strong in this holy faith. Fill our hearts with thy pure and holy heavenly love. Grant us patience and loving kindness. Daily renew in our soul that blessed hope. And may that hope of thy glorious return keep us in expectation of that great triumph, O Lord. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, in everything, thou teach us to honor thy holy name, to worship thee in spirit and in truth. May our heart be like the priestly censer, from which the fragrance of true worship was ascending toward the heavenly throne. So may our prayers and praises be inspired by thy Holy Spirit, with love and gratitude for thy great goodness and mercy, O Lord. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thou be helper to the helpless. And thou send thy Spirit to proclaim thy holy word. Thou make us a true example of sincere, true godliness. Thou, O Heavenly Father, provide opportunities for witnessing, and thou move the hearts from darkness to thy light. And then, O Lord God Almighty, save all those that thou hast redeemed. And thou, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, fulfill thy holy word, which thou hast said, that the dead will hear the voice of thy Son, and those that hear shall live. For thou hast sent thy holy Son, our blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, that none who believes in him should perish, but have everlasting life. So thou make us, O Heavenly Father, true followers, faithful disciples, zealous witnesses, faithful and wise stewards of the goods that thou hast given us, O Lord, that we also may walk in the line, in that long chain of the faithful ones, thy prophets, the holy apostles, faithful disciples, and holy martyrs, that we may also, Heavenly Father, lift up the banner with the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and battle against the enemy with the strength, with peace, with comfort, with love and joy that only thou canst give. Gracious Lord, teach us to worship thee and to follow thee and to be thine, united in the spirit of love and peace for this short period of time of our pilgrimage, that even here, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we may share the joys of heaven, the pretaste of that heavenly glory, until, O Lord, thou wilt take us to be with thee, to worship thee, and to praise thy holy name in purity, in holiness, in joy, joy everlasting, where thy name is worshipped and praised forever. Amen. In our second reading, beloved, let us read in continuation Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 9, from the verse number 57 to the end of this chapter. Luke 9:57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I find it very interesting that when the disciples saw someone casting out demons, doing miracles in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they did not desire, they did not ask this man to come and join them. If he is doing something in the name of Christ, and if that is effective, why they thought that they should forbid him? We read in this same chapter, verse 49, that after our Lord gave a lesson to the disciples of being like a child in the arms of the Savior, John answered in the verse 49, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. Was that the understanding of what the Lord was teaching, that they should be like a child in the arms of the Savior? I don't think so. The Lord answered, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. You see, when we see someone, even if it's not in the name, openly in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, even if someone would not say we do this in the name, if there is something really good, like casting out demons, doing something against the enemy of our souls, it cannot be done in any other name but in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or in the name of God. So, instead of forbidding what is good to do, we should encourage that. And if there is something that should be improved, either with us or the others that are serving the Lord, then that should be corrected. When Apollos came in the same area, same place where the believing couple were, Aquila and Priscilla, his wife, that at some time were companions or working together with Paul the Apostle in the ministry of the gospel, Apollos came and he preached very mightily, but he knew only the baptism of John the Baptist, only that part of the gospel. By the way, some people may think that the teaching of John the Baptist belonged to the Old Testament, but in the gospel, according to Saint Mark, we find that that's the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the preaching of John the Baptist. And Aquila and Priscilla met Apollos, and they didn't tell him, you shouldn't preach, that's not the whole gospel. Now they accepted him. They embraced him together with Apollos' zeal for the Lord, and they revealed to him even more of the gospel teaching. I think that's a good Christian example. The Lord himself said, "Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us." Why? Well, if we serve in the same ministry, then we should help one another. There is no competition in the ministry of the Lord, only cooperation. And if there is competition, it's not the Lord's ministry. There must be something at least human, if not something worse than that. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up into glory, complete his ministry on this earth, and return back to the Heavenly Father, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. So they were not circulating anymore from one place to another, but they were walking, traveling toward Jerusalem. And as their journey led them by a Samaritan village, and it probably was the end of the day, the time to find a lodging place and have the night rest, they stopped in that Samaritan village and asked for a place to lodge, to rest. Well, Samaritans, knowing that the Jews are looking down on Samaritans, actually, reading the gospel, I have an impression that the Jews despised the Samaritans and Samaritans hated the Jews. So, they were in a way similar to one another. But the Jews, at least some of them, knew the law. And among those that knew the law, there was a tiny remnant, perhaps we should say saved by grace, that kept the law. But among the Samaritans, there was total confusion. They had some traditions, they had some knowledge, at least some names and some customs, but not the real understanding of the law of God. They didn't know what the true faith is, because they were worshipping the Lord, but also had many customs and traditions of the Gentiles, the worshippers of idols. So the Lord sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, and they refused to give lodging and hospitality to these travelers because they were going to Jerusalem. Now, just to think a moment, again, I think that Samaritans were similar to the Jews. See, John in verse 49 said, "Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him." Why? Just because he followeth not with us. He's just not in exactly the same company. Now, the Samaritans, hating Jews, and somehow including in their hatred the city of Jerusalem, they will refuse hospitality to the Lord. The Samaritans probably had no idea that the Lord has no friendship or no fellowship with the rulers in Jerusalem, that actually the Lord is going to be arrested, that he is going to be tortured, condemned, and crucified. You see, just the fact that someone is going to Jerusalem does not necessarily mean that that person or that group is the same as another group in Jerusalem. Those are premature and perhaps immature judgments, sectarian judgments, schisms, and similar things that do not belong to Christian teaching and Christian faith. So, the disciples, James and John, you see, John was one of those that said to the Lord, we forbade one to minister to the Lord because he's not in our group. And now again, they're far from being as a child in the arms of the Savior, as the Lord was teaching them. They still don't understand these words. So they said to the Lord, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven? They didn't say, Lord, wilt thou command fire to come down from heaven? They wanted to play a big Elijah the prophet. They want to be strong and quick to judge and condemn and avenge and so on. But we see the same thing, similar thing happen among the Jews and Galileans. And these disciples, being Jews themselves, did not say to the Lord, shall we say that fire come down and destroy them? Elijah did not call fire upon the Samaritans, but upon the Israelites, godless Israelites. They were burnt with fire, not Gentiles or heathen or some other nation. But James and John would rather have some fire to come on the other people, not on their own. But the Lord rebuked them. The Lord rebuked them not for fear that they might rush and call for fire and burn up Samaritans before the Lord even gave them permission. They couldn't do anything. They could not. The Lord rebuked them for their wrong attitude, their misconception, misunderstanding. And he said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Peacemakers, not harsh, cruel judges. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy man's life, but to save them. But that's also our ministry, our service, to point to the salvation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Or we also point to the judgment. But we are not the judges. So, what should be our attitude when we see evil in the world? Attitude of vengeance? Or a desire that the Lord may reveal his mercy to them and save them? We often hear awful things being done in this world. Wars and rumors of wars, atrocities, tortures, cruelty, savagery among those that even proclaim that they are quite civilized. At times we hear or see such awful things as if a wild beast was unleashed in the hearts and minds of human beings. Oh, perhaps we should apologize to the beasts. They don't do that terrible things as humans do. And we might feel something that may look like a righteous indignation. How can they do terrible things like that? Well, we should look deeper into the things. We should look into the background. Who is the one that is doing all of that? Those poor slaves of sin, these souls in darkness are actually like puppets in the hands of the evil spirit. I think that the proper attitude and feeling toward all of that is abhorring sin and having compassion for sinners, you see. So they went to another village. Here we have the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, humbly, peacefully walking to another place, asking for hospitality, asking from the creatures that he has created, asking for a spot just for one night in this universe that he has created. No vengeance in his heart. For when we think of the great and awful judgment, and yet just, righteous judgment of God, we couldn't help but feel compassion for those that are aiming toward that judgment. So they went to another village. And it came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto the Lord, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. What did this man think? That he will follow the Lord to Jerusalem. The Lord was going to Jerusalem. But really, the way this man expressed his intention, or at least his expression, that he will follow the Lord whithersoever the Lord goeth, that's supposed to be, I think, such a loyalty that will not stop before anything. But it was not true. Apparently it was not. The Lord answered, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Now, when we think about this, I don't think that our Lord and Savior was teaching zoology. I don't think that was the point. I think that this might be explained with some other verse that the Lord said, answered to some people that said to him, go out of here and get away, because Herod the king will seek to destroy thee, to kill thee. And he said, go and tell that fox, today and tomorrow I am working. On the third day I will finish. So I would think that foxes are men, human beings, that find their security in their dens, in their devices, in their way of living, in their craftiness, in their earthly human wisdom. They find security in some social position, or in wealth, or in some other style of living here on this earth. And if that be so, then we might think that the birds signify those people that would do anything for recognition, for honor, for a high position. And those that lived out in the country, or those that were interested in seeing the life outside the cities and villages, probably are familiar to what happened to the foxes when the rainy season comes. The dens are filled with water. It's a disaster. And so is every earthly security. And we know what happened to the birds, or to their nests, when the storm comes. There is no safety and no security upon this earth. No, not for our souls. And even if a man could gain the whole world, but having no Savior, that soul is lost. Everything here on this earth is just for a time. And the only value of this life, and everything that we have in this life, the only true value of that is the opportunity to use it in serving our Lord and Savior. So, the Lord said that the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Now, was he burning with a desire to find some rest upon the face of this earth? I don't think so. When Satan came to tempt the Lord, and in a moment presented all the kingdoms of this earth and their glory. And Satan said to the Lord, "This is all mine, and I'll, to whomsoever I want to give it, I can give it." Well, that was a big lie. If Satan could give that to anyone, he would first take it for himself, because that's what he was craving from the beginning, to be a god or the god of the humanity. But never worked for him and never will. For Satan remained Satan. So he said to the Lord, "All this shall be thine if thou worship me." The Lord did not hesitate for a moment. All the kingdoms of this earth were nothing in the sight of the Lord. Just nothing. Dust and ashes. Because the Lord knew the beginning. He knows the true and right kingdom. And the glory of the heavenly kingdom supersedes everything, even if it would be multiplied millions of times, everything that is upon the face of this earth. Oh, the glory of this world is really shame for a Christian. So, I don't think that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was longing for a peaceful place upon the face of this earth. No. When he looked at the best that humanity can offer, at the best that the world can offer, it was not worth one moment of rest, one moment of distraction. The true rest of the Son was in the love of his Father, and so the true rest of the redeemed ones is in the Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the true rest. As we read in the Psalms, that as a child in the arms of his or her mother, so is my soul with my Lord. So, our Lord and Savior did not view this world, this earth, as a suitable resting place, because the heavenly rest and peace and joy was in him. He is the source of all of that. So another one comes, meets the Lord, and the Lord said to him, "Follow me." But he answered to the Lord, wait, Lord. I first want to go home and bury my father." No, I don't think the father was passed away already. I think this man wanted to take care of his father, and then, after that, to become a disciple of the Lord. Well, what the Lord said, "Follow me," did not mean neglect thy after the father is gone. Perhaps this man had a younger brother, and if he would be gone with the Lord, then the younger brother would inherit everything. And some of those things, we can imagine anything, but we know that the Lord did not ask his disciples to neglect their loved ones. The Lord answered, "Let the dead bury their dead." What does that mean? If burial is more important than the life, probably those people are spiritually dead. You see. It is almost a meaningless thing what kind of a funeral we are going to have. The important thing is, what is our relationship with the Lord? Are we at peace with God? Are we ready to leave this body and to meet our Creator? But thou, go thou and preach the kingdom of God. How can someone preach if he's dead? Well, all those that follow the Lord and follow Him faithfully receive that new life, the promise of joy and peace that will never cease. However, here on this side of the grave, having that peace in our heart, having that joy in our soul, we also have the cross, self-denial, and daily striving to serve the Lord. Another one also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home, at my house. Now, what is the meaning of these words? How long a time this man would need to go and bid farewell to those that are in his household? But why? Why did not this man go and say farewell to his family or whomever he had, and then just come and follow? Why the declaration instead of deeds? Words, words, words. But the Lord is looking for deeds. Now, words with deeds are much better. Not that the words must necessarily be wrong. If the words are just preceding or joined with the action, the words can be all right. The man that entered into the house of prayer and smote his breast in desperation, saying just a few words of his prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, these words were great, wonderful, glorious words, inspired by the Spirit of the Lord. Actually, the Lord has given this man a prayer that the Lord will answer. This man went to his home justified. See, the words are good when they are good. But here, this man is proclaiming, declaring that he will follow the Lord. But first he has something else to do. As long as something else is first before the Lord, before the salvation, it's an indication that there is no readiness. For what? For the kingdom of God. So the Lord, in this answer, somehow associated the kingdom of God and following the Lord. Truly, there is no other way. Only one way to the kingdom of God. Only one way to the kingdom of heaven. Only one path from death to life. And that is through Christ, our Lord and Savior. I think that in these verses we find a lesson. A lesson of what we should be careful to be free from. Not to have a spirit of vengeance, not to have an attitude of judgment, not to have anything between us and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not to have anything that is more important than our relationship with the Lord, not to have anything that in time sequence comes before our relationship with the Lord. Just the Lord and salvation. Actually, our relationship with Him is number one in time, in preference, in everything. That's very, very important. Now, when the Lord said this, why did He say it? the law. The law that God gave to the children of Israel, the law of Moses, had declared, for this sin, this is the punishment. For that problem, this is the answer. But our Lord and Savior did not preach the law. He lived the law. But he preached the grace of God. Why did he say that none of these is ready for the kingdom of God? That those that want to be ready know what they should beware of, what they should avoid in their lives, and how to walk free, and how to walk close, following closely the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, when we look, let's say another day is over, and we look back what we did, what we experienced, what we said that day. And if we see that there is something between us and the Savior, that there is some obstacle, some difficulty, that there is some correction needed, well, we should not just say, well, yes, it would be better without those things. We can do something about that. Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open. The Lord is willing. If we accept his truth, if we pray, if we ask for his help, he will help. But he also said that we should ask day and night, that we should not give up. When we know that something is the will of the Lord, we need not say, if thy will is. When we know that something is the will of the Lord, we keep asking until we receive. There is also another important thing in our prayers. When we ask something that we truly desire, that perhaps sometimes we have to pray for a true desire, a true prayerful attitude, that we might ask what we need. Here, in this book, we have all the instruction needed. May the Lord give us all the necessary understanding, enlighten our minds, and fill our hearts with his presence. Unite us with him through Christ, and unite us one with another in the spirit of love and peace, that even here, in the midst of difficulties and in the midst of the tumult, that noise of sin on every side, the threat of sin from every side, in the midst of all of that, we may have peace and joy of his salvation for just a little longer, just another step, another short time, and the Lord will come, or we will be gone. He will take his own. He never forsakes those that do not forsake him. May the Lord bless his word and multiply his word in our hearts, in our lives, that we may walk in true godliness, united with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in peace and in joy serving him. For his goodness, for his mercy and love, may to him be honor and glory, worship and praise forever. Amen.